This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
On the FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK 24-hour radio show.
Lucy Spraggan.
On the phone line right now, we've got singer-songwriter Lucy Spraggan.
Do you know who I love musically and lyrically? I'm just her vibe on Adele Ray at the moment. Well, I've loved her for years.
Wow.
And I just love how she is so... She's like an openly, just weirdly sexual... she just says what she wants to say. She's one of those women in the music industry that, you know, she just does what she wants. And that for me is a huge inspiration, because you don't see that many women doing that.
Lucy Spraggan, FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. This is FUBAR Radio. We have joining us, still in the studio with us, I should say, Basma Khalifa. We've also got the last skeptic, Colin. Eartha Pond. We've also got Amanda Starr.
Yeah. Woo!
Thank you guys for still staying with us. Me.
More to the point.
We got you.
Build support. I really, really do. This campaign is obviously... very important, men and women working together, the He For She campaign. Remember, you can keep on donating to us. Text UNWN. Do you like how I'm not rapping now?
I was saying, do you want the background music?
Like, Rach, what do you want, babe? What do you want?
Let me know. All you need to do is give me the thumbs up and I got you.
We're giving it. Yes.
Last skeptic, do you want to do it?
I'm not a rapper. Oh,
come on, Frank Sinatra.
I'm not going to do it. Not this time. I'll come back at 5 a.m. and I'll do it. Cool.
Again, that's legally binding. thank you very much. Just text UNWN followed by the amount you would like to donate to 770. That would be fantastic. Basma, how did you get into presenting?
Oh, interesting one. I've been a fashion stylist for as long as I can remember. And funnily enough, when I was at university and onwards, everyone always said to me, you know, you should do that. You've got a really funny voice. And I was like, is that a compliment?
Cheers.
What does that mean? Yeah, and then it went from being funny to being like, you have a velvety voice. And I was like, oh, that's a better compliment. I'll take velvet.
That's so much nicer.
Yeah, so I kind of, when I went freelance, because I was at so many different magazines, I was sort of like at Vogue and Net-a-Porter and InStyle and ES. And after that sort of stint of assisting and being at magazines, I sort of thought, I'll go freelance. And I think the beauty of being freelance is it allows you to sort of figure out actually what you want to do. And I will always be a stylist, but I think people started approaching me and sort of saying, you know, you should genuinely think about that. And it's just not a world that I know of or know anyone in. So I was like, this is just like going into the dragon's den again. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But slowly, it's taken me 3.5-4 years, and I'm slowly now finding my feet. So it's taken a long time, and I always think, and I always say to people, they're like, oh, you have the connections. And I was like, I didn't. And you just have to keep going. I'm 4 years in and I'm still going, and I'm literally at the beginning. And I feel like I'm getting somewhere at the beginning now.
Yeah.
I think you always feel like that. I was saying earlier that it took me ages to be like, yeah, I'm a presenter, because you feel like you need to earn certain like points. You need to graft more. You need to hustle. And I think what's really weird as well is when you get... I'm so used to like hustling, and when you get a job sometimes quite easily, that's a weird thing, because you're a bit like, well, I don't deserve this. Where's the rejection? Like, this isn't right. I'm not taking it.
I was trying to talk my way out of it, because I'm like, I don't believe this is real.
No, it doesn't happen that easily. I don't trust you. I don't at all. Last skeptic, Colin, I should say. How did you get into music? Why?
I got in when I was super young. I was like 10, 11 years old at school. And I always loved music growing up from my mom listening to like Holly Near, Janis Joplin. Like, she always played the piano. Like, me, you know, I knew that everyone in the house was in a good mood when she was playing the piano. So it was kind of, you know, beautiful thing kind of growing up hearing that. And my dad just loving like heavy rock and jazz and everything. And so I just got into hip hop when I was like 9 or 10 in school, because I grew up in Finsbury Park, and just hip hop was just everywhere. And so I just had to emulate it. I wanted to be Dre, basically. I wanted to make beats like Dre since I was like 10 years old.
So you've always been cool then, basically. Still 10-year-old.
Like that time.
That's it, And so when I was in school, I had lots of beef in school, as you do when you're like in North London. And then I would just have to be in the music rooms all the time. And I went to school with Sway, a rapper called Sway. He just taught me how to make beats. So it kind of blossomed from there when I was a kid.
And you know, being a music producer, it's a very male dominated industry.
Big time.
So how do we change it?
You know, I like to encourage, because I think it's so important to encourage female artists, and more importantly to encourage female producers, because as a you know, you get a lot of female singers and stuff, which I work with all the time, and side note, I think it's very important to provide a completely safe environment. As a producer, a male producer, it can be quite, I can imagine it'd be quite an intimidating thing for a singer or for a female artist to come into. Mm-hmm. So I always just make sure that everyone feels cool as fuck and everyone's, you know, feels happy in a welcoming environment to do so. But I think what I'm trying to do now is encourage as many female producers as possible. So I went to a school recently in Tottenham and just like helped show like a couple kids like how to make beats, how to make beats and even the song that you just played by Rita, who is my fabulous better half, and she basically produced that song. I just kind of helped out at the end and put the drums in, but she's an incredible producer. And I think the environment that's provided for in the music industry is that it's this super technical thing, production and engineering and mastering. It's this world of dominated by geeky guys, or you know, that women can't, you know, access. When in fact, like, it needs to be way more open, and women need to be like encouraged by this misogynistic side of the industry to get involved in it.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said, and I think it is hard for women to break into a male dominated industry. But do you see the change? Is the change happening at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so.
And how can more women get involved, would you say?
You know what? I think what I've really loved seeing is women getting together and working together. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I'll always say to artists that I work with is, like, find females that are within the industry that you get on with really on a personal level. Mm. And just like meet up and chat about music. I used to do in record stores in super male environments. Just like go and meet up, and it's not my fight. It's not like something for me to co-opt and say, this is me, you know, this is all my fight. It's for me to be a supportive role and just go, you know, if you need me, I'm here to support and encourage, but it's not for me to speak on with any authority, because I don't know the struggle, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know that, but I can at least show my support, you know? But I definitely think providing a safe environment and super encouraging and making it a total open playing field, so that, you know, so that everyone can be based on the merit of their productions, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's
not
more important.
Not to make this a Black Panther reference, but it should be like Wakanda.
Wakanda!
Oh, yeah. Like male and females. They're like equal.
Yes,
I always
exactly.
say what's the amazing thing about that movie is literally the women are allowed to be. We've not seen
what?
It.
I know. I know.
Sorry, we're just going to go to a break.
Yeah. Wait, what?
We're just going to kill transmission.
I don't know what we're going to do with that.
It was like it came out.
I think you should take that back.
I didn't think you heard,
yes, I understand.
Oh, ouch.
We heard.
A West Londoner forever? Okay.
But it is men and women. That's what the He for She campaign is. Yeah. Men and women working together, standing side by side.
Yeah, and the thing about that, it's the underlining part of the movie was the fact that women were allowed to be who they are and be as strong as they need to be. Mm. And that men weren't threatened by it. That they were like, you need to be our warriors, and you need to be on top, and we will take your lead. See, take the lead and we'll be behind you, and that needs to come into the real world. Not
definitely.
Do you think we're a long way off from that in the real world? Men, you know, it's about men and women, okay, working together. And do you think we can? Do you think we will find that gender equality?
I think
big question.
That's a big question.
Yeah. It's about taking the risk, and if you're willing to take the risk, then there can be change. But if people ain't willing to take the risk, then it's about, we're going to have to break down the doors, and if we have to break down the doors, we'll break them down, but it's going to take us longer. Yeah. But really what we want is for people to recognise us in our own sense, to say, actually, we know you're good enough. We don't need you to prove. We're going to give you that job without you doing 99 things, and you're not going to hand it back like it's something weird, because you are actually talented and you can actually believe in yourself that actually I am talented and I am meant to get it first time. Stop wasting my time. Let's get it done.
Because it's quite twofold, isn't it? Like, women need to believe in themselves, believe in each other, and then like go forward. Yeah. You first have to have the self-belief.
Yeah, because I've just started managing a music artist, so I still obviously do the presenting and stuff like that. But one of her main like things was that she was really happy that I was female, because I think all of her previous managers have been male. But I don't know whether or not, I guess because as females we connect.
You understand the struggle. You get
I think that's what it is. And as I said, it's all new for me. Like, you know, my brother, my Stiggy, who, you know, is on FUBAR. It's obviously a rapper, grew up, you know, and yeah. he did his thing. And I think, you know, obviously seeing the music kind of industry from his side, like, I didn't think I would be doing it. Okay. And it's crazy because, like, for me in primary school, my teachers always used to say to me, oh, Amanda, you'll be a radio presenter, because I've always had that tone.
Yeah. yeah.
And, you know, now it's like I've done radio, I do voiceovers.
She chats, chats.
I'm an artist manager. I do all of these different things. But it's funny coming into this, into different sides of the music industry, because it's like with the with now becoming a manager, I see that whole kind of male and female
yeah.
thing.
So you can see it quite prevalently.
Yeah, whereas before, like, just me, as in presenting, I didn't, you know, like I said yeah. earlier, I didn't yeah. really see it. So it's, I don't know, like, I really do hope we do get to a point, you know, in life, I don't know when it's, everyone's just on the same level. And, yeah.
and we don't have to do things like this.
Yeah, yeah. like, literally, yeah. it's, like, for me, I just feel like, it's boring.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's like, why do we have to keep talking about it? Why do we have to keep trying to keep the conversation alive?
Yeah, and you know, like, even what you were saying, it's like, it's only now that I sat here and I thought about it. It's like, for real, there's not that much female producers. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, we have got, I don't know why I just thought of this, but we have got male and female, so they're separate. So if everyone's equal and everyone's yeah. doing the same thing, what makes us different?
That's
what,
true.
What makes
we
us different?
We bring different things to the table yeah, than what men bring to the table. I think both need to be celebrated as well.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, we're
it's celebrated as individuals.
Yeah, that's so
and
true.
And then as a team. It's funny, I always like looking at that he for she thing, and I always think there should definitely still be a she for she. Like, yeah. I I'm in a female-dominated industry. Like, fashion is completely
yeah.
female.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
And I can see women who feel attacked by each other or feel like threatened by each other, and there's a huge that's a huge issue in itself. And I think women should be for women as well, and also tackle he for she, but tackle women against women, like support each other and, yeah. you know, be all for one first.
Are you seeing that? Because I have to admit, I was quite, and it's sad that I'm saying I was quite surprised by this, but the amount of kind of female presenters and people I respect in the industry that really wanted to come on the show
yeah.
and I shouldn't be surprised. Women should yeah. support other women, yeah. but especially in the industry,
yeah.
I don't. You don't normally.
You don't see, no, definitely no. not.
There's a slight rise with.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
actually crazy.
There's yeah. a slight rise with. I'd say social media has created a slight rise in like fangirling each other, where you'd be like, "Oh my god, did you see her? Mm. Did you see her?" And that yeah. can help. But I think naturally, instinctively, women are a little bit more threatened by each other because it's like, "Oh, I really want to do that. I want to." So you. I personally look at things and think, oh, what's she done? She's amazing. Let me see how I can do that, emulate it. But I think a lot of women do look at each other and think, well, I just want to be her, and she's taking, there's only one spot and I can I need that spot. Mm.
I'm just thinking, is that because what's happened before? So in history, that's always yeah. been the way. So even when they start getting confident and start building yeah. themselves up, there's always this little thing in the back of their mind saying, but there's always got to be someone who's
yeah.
on top.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We can't,
so
everyone
true.
Can't be equal. Like, you say to your parents, come on, Mum, which one of us is the favourite? And yeah, she's like, no, yeah. you're all favourite.
Yeah,
in
so
own,
true, actually.
In
your own separate, to
but you're always like, there must be one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
me, it's me.
Yeah. We all know it's me.
It's me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So true, so true. Yeah. Well, look, annoyingly, I've got to say goodbye to you, Corinne. I've got to say goodbye to you, Asma. I'm so, so sorry. It's been so great to have you guys.
Thanks for having us. Thank you for having us.
Great time.
Thank you so much. And we are going to take just a little breather, could play Recover by Churches, but I'll be back in a few minutes time. Of course I'm going to be back. I'm going to be here for another 17 hours, guys. So thank you again for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
Good
that's
luck.
All right.
You're
we'll see you.
Good luck.
Thank you in a few minutes time.
Sleep. listening to the 24-hour radio marathon presented by FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK for the He for She Arts Week.
Fantastic Blondie, one way or another. Welcome. This is FUBAR Radio, if you have just joined us. I will be here for 24 long live hours. If you're thinking, why? I tell you, you're not the only one. No, we are here for the He for She campaign. I shall be, you know, I'll give you a quick reason why we're here. So a couple of months ago, I was working for the UN and I came across the He for She campaign, and it was something I believe in quite passionately and very aware that not enough people are aware of the campaign. So I approached FUBAR and I said, why don't we do something for it to raise awareness, to raise money? Why don't we do a 24-hour radio show live? And I can do the entire show, and that way it can sponsor it and people will know more about it. And also, the UN have never done anything like this before. So that's how we find ourselves here. That's how I find myself here. But the He for She, it invites men and boys to build on the work of the women's movement as equal partners, grafting and implementing a shared vision of gender equality. It's men and women working side by side. That's the only way us women are going to get the equal rights that we so deserve. We want your support, though. We want your money. So do text. I want your money. No, do text UNWN followed by the amount you want to donate to 70070. That's 770. And we've got some more guests in the studio.
Welcome.
We've got Tiggy Hawk, singer-songwriter. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we've got Sarah Chu, playwright. Welcome. thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I was going to bring you some Red Bull. Maybe I should have done.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Well,
it's a hypothetical situation now.
It's all right. I've had a gift of wine, so I feel like I'm winning.
Yeah, you are.
That's a risky.
Yeah, I know.
That's a slippery slope.
It's so risky. And also, yes, we've got Amanda and Eartha here who are looking. You're looking after me very, very well.
Yes, girl, we got you.
My teacher nature.
You got up at what time this morning?
I don't know what day we're on. I don't know where I am.
I don't know. You don't need to. That doesn't matter. You're right here with me. Tiggy, tell us first of all about your music, your style of music for our listeners.
I write electropop music, and everything is from my own experience. So because I can't write. If it's not me, I can't pretend to know what anyone else is going through, so I can only share my own stories. So my most recent song is actually very in sync with this movement, which is why I feel so strongly about it. It's written from my own experience, but I wouldn't have been able to write it without being inspired by all the hundreds of people, hundreds, thousands of people who've come forward and been so brave to talk about their own stories, because that kind of courage is the only way to kickstart things like this. And I can, like, hands down say that, you know, without them, I wouldn't have been able to talk about my experiences and even to release this song. And that, to me, I mean, it was out last Friday. Last Friday, I was a wreck. Like, I was kind of, you know, like when you're refreshing, being like, oh God, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is it even live? Oh God. But you know what? I've never been happier to be proved wrong in my entire life. Honestly, the response was amazing. Obviously, yeah, you get the couple of people who have the strongly opinionated in the other direction. But you know what? I kind of thought that would really upset me, and I steeled myself for it. And I read it, I was like, actually, like, you are the reason that I feel like I feel that I have to do this, and I feel so empowered to do it. So instead of just feeling like, oh God, you know, I feel awful, I feel diminished, I was just like, you're just, like, putting wood on the fire, son. Keep going.
It's such an amazing place to be, though. Like you say, you feel empowered. You feel strong, don't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah. But that said, I can't say that I felt this strong a couple of years ago. I can't, because I didn't. And it's definitely been, like, a process of kind of becoming more confident with myself, and also having support from men and women around me. Yeah. Because I'm very lucky to have an amazing support circle of you know, men and women and everywhere in between. And that's the thing. That's why I completely agree with you when you say that men and women working together.
Yes.
There is no way that, you know, I mean, we can push as hard as we want, but we need to work together. There's no way forward. And I think equality is what a lot of people kind of miss out in the whole kind of feminist statement.
Yes, I agree.
It's not about one being better than the other. It is literally that one word.
We're not better than men. They're not better than us.
No, exactly. But neither of us could exist without the other.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous when people are like, oh, you're a feminist. Oh, you hate men. Oh, yeah, I hate half the world's population. Good one,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
That's a sweeping statement.
Yes.
Like, if I ever heard one.
But
you do, you know, when you start saying, you know, I'm a feminist, they're like, oh, don't shave your legs then. I was like, well, feel these silky smooth. You know, please.
Do not feel these.
Yeah.
Oh, don't feel them.
I shaved them especially for today.
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
I've been married for a long time.
Yeah, you understand. You say that, but I'm single, then mine is the same.
Tumbleweed.
It's just too
much effort, yeah, though, let's be honest. It's way too much
effort. It is effort.
It is.
Jeans for jeans
Day. Have you found that, and I've... Jeans for jeans Day.
Very true.
With the Me Too campaign, I've had a lot of my male friends be very shocked with the amount of females that have had either sexual harassment, sexual abuse, on whatever spectrum it is. Mm. Do you find as well that people are shocked?
Yeah, and the kind of, it's like an air of disbelief. And I think that's what makes it quite, that's what kind of people have been a little bit reserved about, is like, well, surely this can't be the sheer number of people that actually have been affected. It's like, well, yeah, hello.
Yeah,
we've been trying to tell you this all along, and it's mad. And if you, I mean, I don't know the number, but I can imagine it's immense, the amount of people who've come forward with that, like with the hashtag and telling their stories, men and women actually. And it's like, well, you know, yeah, we all knew there was a problem, but look at this problem, man. Look how big this problem is, and there is no way that it can like be left like this, you know, at all. And you know, it's really interesting because when I was writing the song, I was actually called Me Too because I wanted to make it as painfully obvious as possible.
Yeah, I like that.
This is what it's about.
Yes.
But I didn't want to make it like, you know, okay, this is your fault, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, so there are a couple of people, and you know, like, you just want to know if you see these people and you're like, what would your mom think?
Yeah,
about what you're doing about it. So one of the main lines of the song is, what would your mama say? And your mama would say, me too.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure your mom has experienced very similar things. And how do you feel about that, huh? And then how do you feel about, you know, doing what you're doing, knowing that someone's done that to your mom? Yeah. And what would she think about you?
It's education.
I wanted it to be thought-provoking, you know, and kind of challenge what is meant to be normal.
Yeah.
Because it's, you
good.
Know.
Yeah.
Enough with that, you know. I feel so empowered having released it, but on Thursday night, no, I
your
was not.
Your eye was a wreck.
I know, honestly, like, I was shaking. I was talking to the cat. I was like, why am I doing this? He had no answers for me, as usual. What an arsehole.
For a shock.
Yeah. Surprise.
Sarah Chu, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Sarah Chu, you're a playwright. Tell us about the latest play that you've written.
So I'm working at the moment on a play called Lipstick, A Fairy Tale of Modern Iran, which is... I was in Iran during the failed Green Uprising of 2009-2010.
Wow.
Amazing. And a lot of people, like, at the time, a lot of people were asking me kind of... You know, there were terrorist incursions and there was a lot of street violence, and it was still the stories of the women that I met that were the ones that absolutely got me to my centre, whether or not they were anything to do with the revolution that was going on. And the number of actresses that I'd worked with who'd been subjected to so-called corrective whippings and horrendous human rights incursions in prison. And so I've written a play about it, which is interesting, talking about the Me Too campaign and a lot of women coming forward and telling very different types of stories. Mm. And what I was interested in is what we do with the women who, for whatever reasons of censorship or language or whatever kind of cultural entitlement, can't come forward and tell their stories. And how do you tell those without letting your own privilege as someone who's entitled to tell that story alter that story? So that's the sort of thing I'm working on.
That's incredible. And so complex as well.
It feels like a lot of juggling, but
I guess what is the answer? Those women that don't have voices, I guess they do depend on us that do have a voice and a platform.
I think I'm still working on the play.
Yeah.
I think that it comes down to always acknowledging where your privilege is to be able to carry a story for somebody else, and taking that as carrying somebody else's story rather than incorporating it into your own.
And
the Me Too, one of the things that I've been sort of interested in with the Me Too campaign was I've had some really, really brilliant experiences of men and women talking about what they've learned from it, and some people going, well, why are you talking about somebody whose arse has been touched when somebody else has been raped? I was going, no, everybody has these experiences, they're not the same. some of them are less bad than others, some of them more intense than others.
But if it
affects a person, yeah, it's the thing.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and I think what we can do if we are carrying stories for others who are not in a position at this point to be able to do it, is just think about that relativity of not being afraid empathetically to go, what is my way in to imagining what that must feel like, while also going, and I also don't know what it feels like, but I can acknowledge that I've had this thing that helps me imagine it.
Eartha, you work with children. How can we reach out to that generation? It's very important, isn't it, for all of this to start from down here. How do you...
Definitely, I think it's really important that they have the exposure to what's going on, but obviously censored in regards to how it's delivered. But one thing that I was kind of thinking about whilst you were talking about, obviously, the experiences that you've seen and you've heard from other people is, what were their experiences before? Because they might have thought it was normal to do that. So it's they're true, only though. Doing what they know as the
learned
norm.
Learned behaviour.
Yeah. So, and then I was thinking the amount of the sheer numbers of people that have committed these crimes or these offences, do we punish everyone or do we just draw a line and say this is the expectation? Because otherwise, the numbers are are in masses. So in regard, what do we do? How do we go back? Is it going to make any difference by going back and punishing them? Or do we look at rehabilitating them and saying, actually, did you realise someone done this to your mum? And going forward, this is the impact that it has.
I mean, I had a really interesting talk with someone from UNICEF yesterday. I love the work they do. I think they are incredible. And they have a new kind of initiative called GIFT, which is predominantly for women and girls in developing countries, where that is, you know, the cultural norm is something that, you know, we would look at and say, well, no. No, that's not right. But then it's like, okay, well, child marriage is a thing. We're like, no, it's not a thing. But, you know, and they've stopped 25 million child marriages, and I think that's amazing.
Wow.
But what they're saying
probably there's
is
that many going on. That's
I know.
It's the norm, though. That's what they're doing.
They don't think they're doing anything wrong.
Exactly, and it's exactly that. And they were saying, you know, education.
Yes.
From the very bottom is the way forward. And I completely agree. I mean... I know. I can also acknowledge that, you know, from my own experience, like, justice is part of a healing process as well. So I'm not sure. I don't have any answers.
It's hard.
You can see it from both sides. But I completely agree that, you know, education for young girls, young boys, and even rehabilitation for people who you know, who have grown up with this being like a regular thing. That this is our way forward, and it's not kind of, you know, aggressive, and it's not patronizing or anything like that at all. It's just kind of, you know, sharing what we know and what we have found with each other.
Yeah.
I think justice has to go hand in hand with forgiveness as well, because someone could get justice but then they can't forgive, so they still have this anger or this resentment, so they still, even after the person has been punished, they still can't let go.
You're absolutely right.
Got to be close that door. There's been justice, so you've had that conversation, that mediation. They know now going forward this is how it should be, and then you to get some sort of closure and to be able to move on to say,
and when we're saying justice, I don't mean kind of, you know, like kind of criminal justice kind of thing, but you are exactly right, and yeah, that to learn to forgive is I think that's something that a lot of us have had to do.
As a story, I'm a storyteller who tells and carries a lot of women's stories, and I think one of the things that is interesting with stories around women and feminism is, where is the place in storytelling and art for women's rage? Where are we allowed to express our anger? Because we're told to go from justice to forgiveness, and there is a stage of rage along the way. And we're very often told from tiny, tiny children that that's not feminine, that's not what we're meant to do, that's wrong if we express those things, that's dangerous if we express those things.
And again, what the UN does, and with the He For She campaign, like with fairy tales, that, you know, we all want the men to come and rescue us. You know, and I actually didn't really think about all of that. And then you think, yeah, of course all the fairy tales, you know, you're knighting shining armour.
you know, but what's that going to do when you're growing up, that you need someone to come and rescue you from a situation you can't rescue yourself?
We don't have fairy tales where the girl who has had something atrocious happen to her shouts at someone and then does something about it.
Yeah.
And those are the fairy tales that we need to build for our girls.
So if you look at it as on a kind of volume scale, you're at the bottom and it's nice and quiet and you're in the perfect environment, and then this awful thing happens to you and you've got it locked up. Obviously the process should be you get that chance to scream and shout, so it goes up to the highest volume, and then the recovery stages, you coming back down, so screaming, shouting, getting lower and lower, and then you're back to your norm and where your ideal place, in a sense. So I think there has to be that kind of trajectory in regards to volume and expressing yourselves. But for everyone that's going to look a different way. It might be physical, it might be verbal, it might be acting or kinesthetic, something like that. But I think everyone expresses themselves in a different way, and it's about getting back to what you class as your norm in order to move forward.
Personally, I like boxing. Yeah. So
you're like that.
I don't like getting rid of my rage. Stick a picture on the bag and let me go, man.
Let me just go out. But it is all about releasing and finding that, which is probably why sports is very, very good for young women, young girls, to release maybe certain tensions. And
it is absolutely, luckily for me, I just love sport because, to be honest, I first got involved in football because I was in the playground at about age 8. The boys were playing football and I wanted to play and they said no. I'm one of 8 siblings and it's doggy dog. Yeah. So no is
an invitation.
No is like, let this battle it out almost. Yeah. Like, let's do this. So it was okay. No, but I'm going to stand in the middle of the pitch and that means no one's going to play. So either I'm going to play or no one's going to play. Yeah. So they ended up saying, you can go in goal. Fine, compromise. I'll go in goal. It means I'm still playing.
Yeah.
They were blasting the ball as hard as they can to make sure that I had the worst time. But then I'm used to dodging punches, so it's fine. I've got brothers. So I got really, really good in goal after a period of time. My mum didn't like it because my skirts kept getting ripped. And well, that's another topic. But then I kept saving the shots. That means they weren't scoring. So now they were getting upset. So I was allowed on the pitch now. Because they couldn't score. So now I was allowed on the pitch. I can't even remember what was I even talking about? I've gone on to, what was the question again?
No, but this is good. This is good.
I forgot what the even question was
young
about.
Young girls in sport.
Young girls in sport. So for me, sport is really important anyway. And the sad thing about it, and it's something I'm quite passionate about, is once we get to puberty, girls start getting a bit more body conscious and start getting
this
the old Snapchat. This is when you stopped. And for me, I just never, ever realised why girls didn't have a sports bra in school. So this is a campaign I'm really keen about, for sports bras to be part of a school uniform. Because if you don't have to think about things bouncing and jumping around and you just crack on with playing sport,
Do you know what?
Don't lose that participation. And if you look at all the statistics, all the research, girls are body image, they don't like boys watching them and they feel uncomfortable. But when you've got a good sports bra, and I know about a good sports bra.
My girl.
Yeah, the rest is almost like, it's history. You just carry on playing. But because they're still wearing these push-up bras or even some of them are still crop tops. Like that they think that's a sports bra, the ones you just chuck over your head. They're like, yeah, and I'm like, lady, you're a D. This ain't a crop top, babe. You need some underwire or something going on here.
Even I don't use a crop top.
You need a bit more than that. So so it's about them having a good sports bra. But then you look about the areas and the kind of financial situation, especially in London. I had one student say, miss, I'd love to have a sports bra, but £30 for a sports bra, my mum's going to a food bank, I don't think she's going to be giving me money for a sports bra. So I might not pick to do GCSEP, I might pick something else, because
what a waste,
because I can't get the right equipment to make me do what I need. And it's literally families are fighting against a sports bra or food or light or gas, and this is the reality that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And maybe I'm lucky I came in a time where
I didn't have a sports bra, but my mum's maternity bra would have to do. That's what it was. I'm just keeping it real.
I'm putting it on there, strapping it down.
Just let's do it. So I had the crop top on top of the maternity bra, and it worked for me.
Oh, so
it worked for me, but for some people, it's not for them.
The maternity bra is the gift that keeps on giving. Sarah, as a writer, have you come across sexism?
Yes. As a woman, have you come across sexism?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about it in your eyes, what you've experienced.
I think people often approach you as, can you find as what's the woman's story in this? And I mostly do tell women's stories, but in the last 2 years, I have done, I have been commissioned to do plays about classroom sexual misconduct. I have been commissioned to do a play about FGM. I have done a play about women in Iran. Not that I don't want to do these. I really, really care about these stories. But it does get a bit boring or a bit frustrating when people go, oh, you can do the women's things and then we'll go off and tell the other stories. And the sense of story being... I mean, it goes back to what you were saying, what we were all saying about fairy tales and about the importance of having universal narratives that are not necessarily gender specific.
Yeah.
That is, once upon a time, there was a hero / heroine that wanted to do a thing and some stuff happened and then they did it at the end. And we don't have those, like, very often.
I mean, I don't think that would be a very successful fairy tale.
Very successful fairy tale.
You know, open it up a little bit.
Open for interpretation.
Yeah. You know, bedtime stories would be very short.
There was somebody. They had some
Mummy's
problems.
Had a long day.
Yeah.
She did some things and, bye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah. But also in fairy tales, it's always, like, the beautiful one is the one that finds that. Yeah. Then we are very aware about our looks.
In boys' fairy tales, there's a boy who has a problem and he goes out into the world and he sorts it out and then it's okay. In girls' fairy tales, there's a girl who has a problem and she's really pretty and she's really sad and then somebody else comes in and sorts her life out for her.
Pretty much.
And we need to not tell those stories. Yeah. We need to offer stories where boys are allowed to have emotional intelligence to fix their problems.
Absolutely.
And girls are allowed to do stuff to fix their problems.
It's a bit of both, isn't it? Because it's like, you know, with men being all like thinking they have to be all macho and
then
like
no one to talk to, no one to show,
you know, the mental health sensitivity for boys and men is a huge thing. And it's you know, it goes hand in hand with, you know, like what you know what you were saying about people being so self-conscious. I mean, you know, how can we not? With all the images and all the things that are shoved in front of our faces, you know, oh, if you're pretty, something will, you know, someone will come and help you. It's like, all right, well.
What
about the rest of us?
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. There's all, you know, all the supermodel, amazing women who work, then they're, I was going to say something else. They work their socks off.
Oh, you can swear on here. It's absolutely fine.
They work their nuts off. And that's great, you know. Sorry. But, you
say
know.
Nuts, balls, anything, baby.
Then you got me.
I'm here for a while. I'll be saying
I think it's going to get worse as it goes on. Huh?
I'm going to get the tone. I'm lowering it.
Yeah.
Go all the way down there, I am.
But then you got, like, people, people who are just like me. I love a good cookie, man. You know, hand in the cookie jar the whole time. I mean, who's going to come and help me out? No one. That's why we just got to get on and do it.
The cookie's not going to hug you.
Yeah. From the inside, they do.
Might,
We've actually got some tweets from our guests. Jack Berry, he's tweeted, thanks so much for having us. Pleasure, treasure. And Franco Fraze, love you, ladies. No, he's not from Mary Poppins. Just realised that. Love you, ladies. Keep smashing that radio out. 17 hours to go. You're basically on the home straight.
That was kind of good. I mean,
I think you need to rap that next time.
In the accent. Remember, if you want to donate, all money donated is going towards changing the reality for women and girls globally. It's all for the He for She campaign. Text UNWN, followed by the amount you want to donate, to 770. The He for She campaign is what we have been talking about, gender equality as well, which is so, so important. Very interesting. With kids at school, do the girls and boys do sports together? Do some girls do certain sports. Like, I remember back in the day, I think only girls did dancing. Back in my day, very old, or netball. Do you get that at school still?
So, interesting. I done a student survey just to find out what they wanted to do, because we've gone from a single-sex school to a mixed school, and we have a high Muslim cohort, so sometimes it could be a bit of an issue. And the feedback was they want to have separate lessons. So that's what we've done in regards to getting participation. But in regards to what they actually do, there is no kind of boundaries in regards to girls do this and boys do that. In my GCSE class, it's mixed. Because they've chosen to do it and they want to do it. And when we actually had our Ofsted come in, she was absolutely blown away. The girls were absolutely smashing the boys, doing football, tackling, no holding back, little bit of hair showing from the hijab. They weren't holding back. They were going in. They were like, this is what we do.
That's so passionate.
And we do it the way that we do it. Yeah. So, and for GCSE PE, we've seen a high intake of boys actually getting moderated on netball. That is absolutely massive. Most of the schools, boys doing netball for their moderation.
Wow.
Awesome.
So good. We are going to have to go very shortly, but Sarah, tell us about the dates of your play.
So the play is, Lipstick, A Fairy Tale of Modern Iran, is at the Omnibus Theatre in Clapham on the 16th and 17th of March. It's part of a festival called Beyond Borders that is looking at women and the hardening of borders and the increase of nationalism and what that is doing to us as women and what we can do to challenge it. So there's all sorts of things from the 13th, this Tuesday, to this Saturday, the 17th.
Amazing.
Come on.
So amazing. Tiggy, are we going to see you perform live soon? Any dates coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The 22nd is my next one, 22nd March. Birthdays in Dalston. I would love to see you guys there. And I will be singing Me Too.
Who's going? Me too.
You should hear the jokes my dad makes. He's like, oh, you want to go to this? Me too.
Dad joke. That's what I got there. Dad joke.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to be back in a few minutes' time. Thank you so much, everyone. So far, we're going to be playing now. Paris is Burning by Lady Hawk and Joy.